I want to encourage you to go ahead and open it up to the book of Psalm. And today we're going to start out in Psalm number 23. So I do want to encourage you this. It's going to be really important that you have a Bible on you today. So if you maybe didn't bring yours with you, if you maybe don't have one, there should be a Bible located in the pew directly in front of you. So go ahead and grab that. You're going to want that in hand today. And if you, by chance, if you say, you know, I don't even own a Bible, go ahead and take that one home with you. That is our gift to you. Well, today we are concluding our series in which we entitled Teach Us to Pray. And, you know, as we're kind of winding this series down, you know, the thing I was thinking of is really, as I hope that everyone, if you've been here for the whole, today would be week number 7, that not only have you been encouraged, but my hope is that you've been challenged as well. And when I say challenged, I mean this, challenged to dive deeper into your prayer life, into the time that you spend with the Lord. And if you recall, when we kind of kicked off the series, we talked about what really is prayer. Sometimes we kind of, you know, we attach all these religious labels and traditions to it, but we said really at the heart, it's simply this. It's about sharing our hearts with God. Right? See, Jesus came to this earth so we could have relationship with God the Father. Sometimes we forget that. We get so caught up in like the religious stuff that we forget why Jesus really came. He came because our sin created a wedge between us and our Creator, God the Father. And there was nothing that we could do with that, but Jesus steps into creation. God the Son comes in the flesh, and he dies in our place. He serves the Father, and then he dies so that way our sins could be atoned for. And that way we could have relationship with the Father. And that's what the Father wants for you. He wants you to have relationship with him. Some of us, that's difficult. If you missed any of the messages, I would encourage you to go back. You can listen to them online. But really talked about that. You have a loving Father in heaven, a Father who loves you, who adores you, and who wants you to know him. And he wants to know you. So prayer is one of those things that God has given us. Right? It's not this religious task. It's this blessing that we can go before our fathers and our Father, and we can share our hearts, and we can share what's going on inside of us. Now, as we kind of jumped in, we recognize this, that prayer is an area where many of us struggle. It's an area, right? Maybe you're like me, and when you pray sometimes, right, your mind starts to wander. You maybe don't know what to pray for. Maybe sometimes we go like, man, I just feel like God's not answering my prayers. So what we've been doing is, right, we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, this guide that Jesus gives us so we can start praying God's way. You know, I think this, that sometimes we think God doesn't hear my prayers or God doesn't answer my prayers because we're praying for things that God never promised. I mean, think about it. A lot of times when we pray things like this: God, don't ever let me go through a hardship. Sometimes we pray, God, you need to change that person, right? If you're married, you can say amen. So, no, we don't ever do that, right? We pray for things like security and our finances and our jobs and all this kind of stuff, right? Right, and all of us, right, at some point, there are people in this room, you've seen that billboard on the side of the road, Lotto worth $6.9 trillion. You'd be like, Lord, you know, I'm just saying, if you let me win that. And then God doesn't answer those prayers, it seems like, because we go through hardships. People don't change. We don't always have financial security. And we go, God, where are you? Why aren't you moving? Why aren't you answering these prayers? And it's because a lot of times we're asking God to do things that he never promised to do. So let me give you an example. Imagine this. Imagine if you and I got together and we made a contract. And the deal was, you were going to come over to my house and fix my deck. There's a couple issues going on with our deck. So let's say you decided to do that. And the deal was, you would come over and you would replace any broken boards, you would fix any loose ones, you would restain it, you would re-clean it, you'd shore up the footings, and it would be a good, strong deck. And for a week, you come over every day and you do that. And the deck looks beautiful. And you go, hey, Brent, your deck is set. And I come out and I'm angry because there's not a hot tub installed. Which I'm just saying, if you want to install a hot tub, that would be awesome. But right, if I did that, you would look at me and go, that's unfair, Brent. That was never part of, I never promised to install a hot tub. Sometimes we approach God in the same way. We get angry at him because he doesn't do things that he never said that he would do. He never promised us that we would never go through hardships. He never promised us that we would never struggle in our relationships, right? In our careers, in our schools, in our finances. Those aren't things that he promised. But he did make some promises. And we've discovered those as we've worked through the Lord's Prayer. And he's been teaching us to pray his way. Now, I want to remind you that the Lord's Prayer, it's a model. It's a guide to praying God's way, not just a mantra to be repeated. Right? When we kind of just remake it a religious thing, we just kind of got to religiously say it, what we do is we strip it of its power. We strip it of what Jesus wants it to be, and that is a guide to help us pray and to share our heart. Well, we've learned some really great things, I think. We've learned that as we pray to be, when we pray that we're to exalt God as the creator and ruler of this world. We've been taught that in prayer we're called to come and to surrender our will and to pray that his will would come and not our own. We've learned what it looks like to pray for, to trust God for our provision, to not put our trust in bank accounts and, right, the stock market and things of the sort, but to trust God for today. And out of that, to live generously and to use the resources that God has given us to care for one another. We've learned to confess our sins and to forgive those who have sinned against us. And we've learned to pray that God would help us through seasons of temptation, that he'd give us the strength and the power to resist the attacks of the enemy when he would come, trying to veer us away from the life that God created us for. I think this, as all of us in this room, right, and myself, trust me, self included here, as we think about prayer, and sometimes in those seasons where prayer is tough and where we struggle and we wonder, does he actually hear? I think if we prayed that way, we would see our prayers be more fruitful, would we not? I think that we would. Well, today, as we kind of close the series, what I want to do is I want to teach you guys a model of prayer. So we're going to do things a little different today. We might do some stuff that maybe you're like, whoa, we've never done this in church before. That's fine. There's no hard and fast rule. But what I want to do is I want to teach you guys a model of praying that I believe will help you dive deeper into sharing your heart with God. Now, it's interesting. When we examine the New Testament, we have some recorded prayers. We have prayers from some of the apostles. We have prayers from Jesus. And what's always interesting to me is many of those prayers are quotations from the Old Testament, or what we would call the Old Testament. We see the New Testament church praying the scriptures. Even Jesus' words on the cross, Matthew 27, verse 46, Jesus makes this proclamation, which is difficult sometimes for us to hear. And he calls out to the Father and he says, why have you forsaken me? And there's theologians who explain what that is. But what I think it's really interesting is, why have you forsaken me, is a direct quote from Psalm 22:1. Right? It isn't Jesus has lost his faith. Jesus is praying the scriptures. You know, if you're here and you feel like your prayer life is kind of in a rut, if you're like me and sometimes you feel like, I kind of just pray the same things about the same things, and right? You ever feel that way? Like, I've just been kind of saying the same old prayers about the same old things, and it's not really doing, I don't feel like I'm getting very deep. If you do that, then what I want to encourage you to do is start praying the scriptures. Now, before we kind of jump into that, a couple little notes or tidbits here. What I'm not saying is this. We're not saying that this is the only way to pray. So I'm going to give you guys a model of prayer, but we're not saying that this is the only way to pray. We're not saying that this way is better than a different way. Right? If you are in a season of life where you really feel like, man, like I'm in a good season in my prayer life. I really feel like, God is speaking to me, he's moving. That's awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. But if you're here and you're a little bit in a rut, if you find it difficult to pray, if you find yourself kind of praying the same old things about the same old things type deal, this might be a good way to help jumpstart your prayer life. So we're not saying it's the only way. Secondly, as we've already looked at the Lord's Prayer, today we're going to look at a few psalms. And I want to encourage you this, that you can use any scripture or some of the confessions of the church that the church has had over the past 2,000 years. The Apostles' Creed, maybe you have a devotion that you really like. You can use those as well. And then lastly, and this is kind of the most important one, don't substitute reading your Bible for praying the scriptures. Meaning this, don't think, hey, I'm grabbing on to kind of this model that Brent's showing us. I'm going to do that. But then you forget to actually just spend time reading your Bible. So we talked about this last week, if you recall. Like, we got to be people of the Word. And if we're gonna know who God is and what his will is for our life and what his mission is for his church, then we got to spend time in the Word. So I want to encourage you to do that, but also, too, to spend time in prayer. And praying the scriptures might be one of the ways that would help you. So, if you have your Bible, I want you to open it up to the book of Psalm. We're going to be looking at Psalm 23, a.k.a. the funeral psalm. Sue's the only one who got that joke. That's fine. So, praying the scriptures, it's a type of prayer. And what it is you go, and we're going to use the psalms for this. And you would go and you would find a psalm. So right here, it's Psalm 23. And this is how you would do it. You would go to the psalm. You would read Psalm 23, verse 1, right? And as you read it, you would pause and pray the first thing that pops in your mind. Whatever that verse triggers, you would begin to pray about. After you have done that, you would move to verse 2. Whatever that verse triggers, you would pray about that. When you're done with that, you would go to verse 3. Whatever that triggers in you, you would pray. Again, this is not great exegesis, meaning interpreting the Bible. That's not the goal here, right? You've done that in your reading. This is a guide to help you be centered in your prayer. So let me show you what this might look like. You guys, right? Y'all right there, Psalm 23. We're even going to put it on the board. So if I were doing this, and I do pray this way, not every day, but there are seasons where I just go like, man, I just don't feel like praying. There's just nothing there. I will use this model to help me. And I did not invent this. This has been used throughout the church for generations. Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation, was very big into praying this way. So, it worked for him. So it might work for us. So Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So when I hear that, maybe the thing that's triggered in me when I would pray, I would say, Lord, I want to thank you that you are my shepherd and that you care for me. Thank you for watching over me. Thank you that today my needs are met. Help me to trust you for tomorrow. And in that, help me to live generously. I pray for those who don't know you as shepherd. Please open their hearts to your word. And I pray that they would respond to your call with faith and repentance. Then I move on to verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So what does that trigger in me? Lord, lead me where you want me to go. I want to fulfill the destiny that you created me for. Show me the next step and give me the courage to follow you wherever you lead me. And then may I move on to verse 3. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So as I hear that, what's triggered in me is I go, God, I confess that I've sinned against you and that I've allowed things in my life that are against your will. I ask for your forgiveness from my sin. Open my eyes to see sin as you see it. And I thank you for your grace. Thank you for not letting go of me or giving up on me. And I ask that you would fill me with the strength to resist the temptations when they come. Do you see how this works? Do you see how it's, right? It's using that scripture. So this is just three verses. But what it's doing is it's using the scriptures to be a guide to teach us to pray. To teach us to pray according to God's will, right? When we hear this, God, you are my shepherd. What does that mean? Maybe you're here, maybe you don't quite feel that way. So maybe for you, maybe you would say, God, I don't know what it means for you to be my shepherd. Show it. Show me. Reveal to me what it means for you to be the shepherd of my life. See, when we do this, it helps us. It helps us focus our minds, to focus our prayers, and to get in alignment with what God might be speaking. So, what I want to do is, this is the part, we're going to do something a little different that maybe we don't typically do in our gatherings. I want you to flip over to Psalm 25. So it might even be on that same page or a page over. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a couple minutes. So everyone has the Bible in front of them, right? Okay, six of you have Bibles in front of you. If you don't, you can share with someone next to you. Psalm 25, and this is everyone, right? This is no one. You don't have to speak out loud. I want you to do this. We're going to take a few minutes. We're going to have some silence. And I'm going to encourage you to practice. Because here's the thing. I can give you information, and then you go home, and you're like, what did he say? What? I want us to practice it right here. So you can get a feel for it, so maybe then you would take it with you to your homes. So we're going to take a few minutes, and you just, verse 1, Psalm 25, verse 1. Read it, pray whatever the Lord triggers in you. Go on to verse 2, pray it, verse 3, and then get as far as you can. I will stop us in just a few minutes. All right? Let's go. I would love for us to do this all day. This is awesome, but I want to be respectful of our time. But I wonder this. I'm sure you guys made it through at least a few verses. Does anyone feel comfortable enough to maybe share, like, what was your experience just now? Did you find that your prayers were more centered? Deeper. Okay, wow, that's awesome. Did you find that maybe your mind wandered a little less? Some of you, yeah, you're shaking your heads. Did you feel like you kind of knew what to pray for or what to pray about? So how one verse could trigger so many different thoughts of what to pray for. Yes, absolutely. Yep. So did everyone hear that? You focus kind of on one thing so you can get deeper into that while you're just instead of kind of focusing on everything at once. That's great. I'm sorry, go ahead. Wow. Did you guys hear that? More felt like he was led to pray more to be a better person than just have a better life. I know some of us, we kind of come out of tradition, right? Like the professional person does all the talking and we don't talk. I hate that. So if there's something, you know, scripture says this, that when we get together, we all have a gift. So if there's something you want to share, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. Go ahead, bud. Praying for others instead of just ourselves. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know if you guys made it to the verse there in Psalm 25 where it talks about, right, your paths. Lead me in your paths. You know, that really stuck out to me as I was just praying that. God, what is your path that you want me to go down? Do you guys see how this kind of helps, how this kind of centers you as you pray, and how it gets you more praying God's will than just our own will? So what I want to do is we're going to have a couple of our ushers, there you go, Paul, our deacons, we have a quick handout, and what I want to do is they're going to come, they're going to hand this guy out to you. Craig may make them into airplanes and throw them at you. Give you a second so a few people can grab a hold of these so you guys can know what we're talking about. Take one down, pass it around, right? But what I'm going to do is I'm going to challenge our congregation to do this. To set aside time every day to pray. And to do it, so June just started, so I'm going to challenge you to do it for the month of June, for the rest of June. To set time aside every day to pray. And when you pray, to use the Psalms as a guide to help you pray. So I'm going to encourage you to use at least one Psalm, but you can use more. So did pretty much everyone got one of these so far? You'll notice it says Psalms of the Day chart. And it says when the day of the month is and the Psalms of the day are. So it's really simple. When you open up the book of Psalms, whatever day it is, right? So today is the third. So we'd go across. So Psalm 3. Now there's 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms. So you can use 5 a day. And then you would work through, if you wanted to pray through 5 Psalms a day, you could do that. and you would pray through all 150 Psalms in a month. So the easiest way to do it is simply this, to mix it up, right? So there's a little variety to it. Because as we read through the Psalms, we see different themes emerging as we go through the book. So you would add 30 to every one. So if today's the third, it would be Psalm 3, Psalm 33, add 30, Psalm 63, add 30, Psalm 93, add 30, Psalm 123, right? Really, really simple. But that gives you five Psalms a day. Maybe you would pick one. Maybe you'd quick glance at them, and maybe one of them would pop out to you and be like, you know what, that's the Psalm I want to pray through. You know, maybe you'd find the shortest one. No, I'm joking. Don't do that one. But I want to encourage you to use this to help guide your prayer life to be praying the way that Jesus taught us to pray God's word. Because I think this, if we do that, we will see our prayer lives grow deeper, richer, and we will see the evidence of God answering those prayers. And as you do that, I want to encourage you to share your story. I think sometimes this, we get so caught up kind of doing our own thing that we don't really share what God's doing. So I want to encourage you to share this with your brothers and sisters. Share this with your family. Share it with me. You can shoot me a text. You can send me an email. You can fill out a prayer card, which they're on the back of the connection cards right in front of you. Fill those out. Let me know. Like, maybe you said, man, you know what? On the 14th, I was praying through Psalm 14, and man, God just really spoke to me, or I seen how God answered that prayer. We want to hear those testimonies because that's proof. That's right there is shows us that God really does hear and God really does answer our prayers. So as we wrap up, I thought that it would be fitting today as we've talked so much about us sharing our hearts with God, that it would be fitting for us to finish this series by taking communion together. You know, communion is this memorial that Jesus gave us. That we would not just remember, but that we would continue to trust in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And you know, the beauty is communion, it's where God speaks to us. It's one of the avenues in which God speaks to us. See, as we've talked a lot about sharing our hearts with God, communion is where God shares his heart with us. Because see, what this communicates to us, what this shares with us, is that God loved his creation so much that God himself was willing to become flesh, enter into his creation, be rejected by his creation, to suffer horrible death, and to die for us. Right? That's why Jesus says, when you do this in remembrance of me. Luke chapter 22, it says this, Jesus, he took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and he gave it to him, and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus said that this bread, it represents his body. It's him communicating to us that he gave his body for us so that way we could have life. So I want us to approach this table this morning with that in mind. You know, sometimes we think this. I was having a conversation earlier and someone shared with me, this was actually no one in this room, but they were dealing with something. And they said, they were going to partake in communion, and they said, I'm not going to do that because I'm wrestling with something. And I looked at them, and I was like, man, like, don't do that. Communion is where God speaks to us, where God says, I died for you. I love you. I'm here for you. Don't think because you're wrestling with something, don't think that because there's something that maybe you're tripping over that God won't receive you. No, instead, come. Partake in the bread, partake in the juice, and say, God, help me. Help me. Give me your grace. Give me your strength. Help me to journey through this, to come out victorious on the other side. Because I believe that that's what you want for me. because I believe that you died for me so I could have life. So I want to encourage you today to come with that mindset. Now, I do want to create some space. So Sue, she's going to play a little instrumental. We're going to have a little time. What we're going to do is very simple. We're going to have our elders and deacons are going to come up, and there'll be two here, two over here. We'll split the room. This side will come to these two, this side, these two. I'm going to invite you to come forth. Come, take a piece of bread, take a cup of juice, circle back around to your seat, and be able to take some time and reflect. Reflect on this amazing truth that God is speaking to us today, that he loves us so much, he loves you so much, he came and died for you. And as you take it, take that in and know that Jesus loves you. And I know that there was a question brought up, and it was asked this, why do we come forward? I know that maybe for this church, there's a history of being served. I think there's something symbolic about coming forward. It's about us coming to Jesus and our humility. Right? It's not going, all right, Jesus, you come to me, but it's saying, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go to Jesus. Right? And there's something about that. When we get up and we come forward, we're kind of acting that out. So when you do that, maybe you would think about that as you come forward of saying, Jesus, I'm coming to you and I'm trusting what you say, that you died for me so I could have life eternal. If you're here today and you're unable to come forward, that's fine. Just give a quick signal and one of our elders and deacons will come to you and they will serve you. So let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks that we can trust that you hear our prayers. We give you thanks, Lord, that you love us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. God, as we prepare to partake in communion, we pray that you would examine our hearts, that first and foremost, that our hearts would be filled with your spirit. Because as we partake in this, we are confessing that Jesus, you are Lord. So God, I pray that if there's anyone here who does not know you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, God, that you would open their hearts to you this morning. Lord, and that maybe today they would step up, they would take communion, and in that they would say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. God, we pray that as we partake in this, Lord, that your spirit would move in us. Lord, if there's any sin in our life that we need to confess, that you would bring that to remembrance, that we could confess that in front of you. But Lord, also I pray that you would bind the attacks of the enemy, that he wouldn't condemn us or tell us that we can't partake in your table, but God, that we would find strength instead by taking of this bread and of this juice, knowing, God, that your spirit lives in us and that is transforming us every day. Jesus, we love you. We pray, God, that you would just continue to have your way in our lives, in the life of our church, and Lord, ultimately, that you would receive all the glory. Jesus, we pray this in your holy name. Amen. Well, as you are ready, our elders and deacons are going to come forth, and as you are ready, you can come up and partake in the elements.